For those jonesing to hear something done by a Jones, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A podcast that never needs cheering up after a rough day. He once frightened a slinky into going back upstairs. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You probably heard from my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, that I am your expert for today, your Medicare expert anyway. I hope that continues far into the future because I feel like a youthful goat kicking up his heels in the meadow when it comes to Medicare knowledge and sharing that knowledge with my cohorts. My cohorts are people who are aging rapidly. They're approaching the sunset of their lives, but not right away, because I believe that people that are my age now, which is older than my parents were when I was growing up, as people that are aging now into Medicare are really younger and healthier than they have ever been. I believe that the human lifespan is probably on the verge of expanding considerably. But in any event, if you're going to be one of these people that has your insurance through Medicare because of your age, or if you're younger because of a disability, you would do well to learn the ins and outs of Medicare so you don't run afoul of any of the rules, and so that you pick out the best available protection. So when you have medical bills, they'll be handled fairly and justly without damaging your financial security. And the way to do that is to buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024, at either Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. You can buy it in a paperback version. You can buy it in a Kindle version. You can buy it in an Audible version, wherein I do all the work for you. I read the book to you. I massage your aching head as you try to digest that knowledge. And then I test you on it. Now, that's not true. I really don't test anybody. The flagship of the fleet, though, is the magnificent $24 hardcover edition of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. So if you're in a mood to give somebody a gift, let's say a gag gift, let's say somebody who's 40 years old and you're going to give them one of those lordy, lordy, look who's 40 things, dump that idea and purchase a copy, a hardcover copy of Medicare for the Lazy Man, and see the delight in their eyes as they open your gift. Anyway, it's time for us to get down to it and to plow into some Medicare knowledge acquisition. For that, I always need the assistance of my friend, my mentor, my guru, my podcasting content. No, the content curator is not Randy, but Randy Carson, whatever you are, you wear many hats when it comes to this operation, and I'm happy to have you with us.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I would consider myself to be the archival of our all bizarre information.
Well, that's true. You come up with some doozies every once in a while. You got one
so
today?
I did that for today. I got one for today.
Alrighty, lay it on us.
Now, you are incredibly knowledgeable in a lot of different areas, and you may already know this, so if you do, just play along with me.
Yes,
but
sir.
I'm going to do Stump the Insurance Expert.
Ouch.
And here we go. What is the longest living animal, not a bacteria, nothing like that, The longest living mammal?
Okay.
No, it's not a mammal. I lied. It's not a mammal. It's a fish.
Oh. Rats.
The longest living fish in the world. I want a name and I want an age.
Oh, boy. The longest living. Okay. So, see, I was concentrating when you were asking the question and clarifying the various angles from which you could come to this. I was concentrating on the word longest. So I was thinking the longest animal in the ocean is going to be a blue whale, I would think. But maybe not the longest living. That could be a different criteria altogether. That could be some sort of prehistoric animal who is prone to a long lifespan. I'm thinking in terms of a Octopus.
Well,
Boy, stumped again. I hate it when I get stumped.
Okay,
like
I'll
that.
Give you another couple hints. This animal is still moving around alive.
Okay.
So it's not a dinosaur. It's a fish.
Yeah.
It lives in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll even give you just one almost giveaway clue. It's a species of shark.
Okay. Well, then I would, my guess would be great white. That's the shark we all think of.
And
oh boy, ouch. Ouch, my ears.
So here you go. The longest living animal is a Greenland shark.
Wow, there's a species I never heard of.
And they are cruising around up around in the northern Atlantic still. They're alive, and uh-huh. They've been alive for over 400 years.
So a shark individual of this species could live as much as 400 years?
And have, and are doing it today.
How do they know? How do it know?
They have acquired tissue. I mean, obviously, they're not going to go out and whack a shark just to see how old it is. They've acquired tissue from this shark or sharks like him or her, and they've done radiocarbon dating on it, and it's over 400 years old.
So if I cut off your finger and did radiocarbon dating on it, would it show accurately what your age is? I've never heard of that procedure.
I'm definitely over 60.
Okay, well, that's good. If the radiocarbon dating procedure is that accurate, then I'm impressed. Now, the other thing is, you said they haven't whacked a shark just to find out how old it is. Does that imply that they have rings like trees?
Nope, they don't.
Okay, because if you had to whack it in order to find out how old it was, you'd have to cut it open.
Now it's only 500 years old. It was going to be 501, but not now.
Yeah, not anymore. It'll miss that last birthday.
So
well, that's
anyway,
pretty interesting.
What they're trying to figure out is the scientists are trying to ultimately discover what it is about the Greenland shark, his makeup, his, you know, the biology of that shark as to what enables his tissues to continue to regenerate and function for that long.
Well, I hope they figure it out before I get to be too old and decrepit, because if they can, inject me with that magical potion that the shark uses, then I'd be a happy camper.
Yeah.
I hope. Of course, I might have to swim around in the Arctic
Ocean.
You're
going to have to swim around up in the North Atlantic to do it, but that's okay. Boy. We can do that. So anyway, I just wanted to mention to you again, I know I did on the last podcast recording, but I am so excited. I now have two brand new shiny copies of Medicare for the Lazy Man book,
the
2024 edition. I've got people banging at my door already wanting to borrow it.
When I come over, can I look at them? Because even though I wrote the book, even though I caused it to be published and everything, I still marvel at its beauty.
I'll definitely let you hold it, but I have to be careful because, you know something, they just have a chance. They have a way of growing legs and walking away.
Yeah, well, popular item.
I know,
and I'm glad of it, because I think the people that read the book have a clearer understanding of what could be a really confusing time of their lives. What do I do about Medicare? How do I make sure I don't screw up? And the book is designed to help people. It's like a hand-holding device. It's not really a person that'll hold your hand through the Medicare entrance or the portal, the threshold, but it is like a machine or a knowledge base that will hold your hand.
Yes.
I got to work on that analogy. That's not as good as I had hoped it would be.
Well, it's not artificial intelligence. This is the real deal.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Nothing made up in that book.
Nope.
And so I'm happy to be helping people out, but we probably ought to help them out by getting this show on the road.
Let's
before we
move
run out
on
of time.
Down the pike here, Doug.
Let's do that. Last episode, we went through a stack of articles describing the pressures under which Medicare Advantage plans are currently operating and how those pressures are going to get worse in the near future, like next year, 2025 and beyond. And so I don't want to, beat that horse to death. So I thought we would change it up a little bit. And do a couple of unrelated articles. These are non-Medicare Advantage things. First of all, we have to deal with the article entitled Burden of Getting Medicare or Medical Care Can Exhaust Older Patients. And that sounds like a real problem for some people. Apparently, and now they, when they say older patients, they start out talking about a Susan Gilliam who is age 67. I wouldn't call her older. I got about 9 years on her. Susan Gilliam was walking down her driveway to get the mail in January when she slipped and fell on a patch of black ice. Pain shot through her left knee and ankle. After summoning her husband on her phone, with difficulty, she made it back to the house. And then began the runaround that so many people face when they interact with America's uncoordinated health system. Now, those are the words of the article, not necessarily my words. Gilliam's orthopedic surgeon, who managed previous difficulties with her left knee, saw her that afternoon but told her, "I don't do ankles." He referred her to an ankle specialist who ordered a new set of x-rays and an MRI. For convenience's sake, Gilliam asked to get the scans at the hospital near her home in Sudbury, Massachusetts. But the hospital didn't have the doctor's order when she called for an appointment. It only came through after several more calls. Coordinating the care she needs to recover, including physical therapy, became a part-time job for Gilliam. Therapists only work on one body part per session, so she has needed separate visits for her knee and for her ankle several times a week. That sounds a little screwy. The burden of arranging everything I need, it's huge, Gilliam said. It leaves you with such a sense of mental and physical exhaustion. How will it turn out? The toll the American healthcare system extracts is, in some respects, the price of extraordinary progress in medicine. But it's also evidence of the poor fit between older adults' capacities and the healthcare system's demands. The good news is that we know so much more and can do so much more for people with various conditions. The bad news is the system has gotten overwhelmingly complex. That complexity is compounded by the proliferation of guidelines for separate medical conditions, financial incentives that reward more medical care, and specialization among the clinicians, says Ashanti Ganguly, an associate professor of medicine at Harvard. It's not uncommon for older patients to have three or more heart specialists who schedule regular appointments and tests. If someone has multiple medical problems, say heart disease, diabetes, and glaucoma, interactions with the healthcare system multiply. This Ganguly person is the author of a new study showing that Medicare patients spend about 3 weeks a year having medical tests, visiting doctors, undergoing treatments or medical procedures, seeking care in emergency rooms, or spending time in the hospital or rehabilitation facilities. That data is from 2019, before any COVID pandemic disrupted care patterns. If any services were received that counted as a day of healthcare contact, that study found that slightly more than 1 in 10 seniors, including those recovering from or managing serious illnesses, spent a much larger portion of their lives getting care, at least 50 days a year. Now, remember, they said one appointment, they counted as one full day. So that's still a lot of appointments and x-rays and testing and all that stuff. Some of these may be very beneficial and valuable for some people, and some of it may be less essential. We don't talk enough about what we're asking older adults to do and whether that's realistic. A professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, has for many years raised an alarm about the treatment burden that patients experience. In addition to time spent receiving health care, this burden includes arranging appointments, finding transportation to medical visits, getting and taking medications, communicating with insurance companies, paying medical bills, monitoring health at home, and following recommendations such as dietary changes. So let's see, 4 years ago in a paper entitled "Is My Patient Overwhelmed?" This doctor found that 40% of patients with chronic conditions such as asthma, diabetes, neurological disorder considered their treatment burden to be unsustainable. When this happens, people stop following medical advice and report having a poorer quality of life. The researchers discovered that. Especially vulnerable are older Americans with multiple medical conditions and low levels of education, who are economically insecure and socially isolated. Older patients' difficulties are compounded by medical practices' increased use of digital phone systems and electronic patient portals. Both of those are frustrating for many seniors to navigate. Meanwhile, clinicians rarely ask patients about their capacity to perform the work they're being asked to do. We often have little sense of the complexity of our patients' lives and even less insight into how the treatments we provide to reach goal-directed guidelines fit in with the web of our patients' daily experiences. Consider what Jean Hartnett, age 53, of Omaha, and her 8 siblings went through after their 88-year-old mother had a stroke in February of 2021 while she was shopping at Walmart. At the time, the older woman was looking after Hartnett's father, who had kidney disease and needed help with daily activities such as showering and going to the bathroom. During the year after the stroke, both of Hartnett's parents, fiercely independent farmers who lived in Hubbard, Nebraska. Randy, you know where Hubbard, Nebraska is? Yep, he does. Thumbs up. Anyway, so both of those parents suffered setbacks and medical crises became common. When a physician changed her mother's or father's plan of care, new medications, supplies, and medical equipment had to be procured, and new rounds of occupational, physical, and speech therapy were arranged. Neither parent could be left alone if the other needed medical attention. It wasn't unusual for me to be bringing one parent home from the hospital or doctor's visit and passing an ambulance or the family member on the highway taking the other one in. An incredible amount of coordination needed to happen. Hartnett moved in with her parents during the last 6 weeks of her father's life after doctors decided he was too weak to undertake dialysis. He died in March of 2022. That's 2 years ago. Her mother died months later in July. So what can older adults and family caregivers do to ease the burdens of healthcare? To start with, be candid with your doctor if you think a treatment plan isn't feasible and explain why you feel that way. Be sure to discuss your health priorities and trade-offs, what you might gain and what you might lose by foregoing certain tests or treatments. Ask which interventions are more important or most important in terms of keeping you healthy, and which might be expendable. Doctors can adjust your treatment plan, discontinue medications that aren't yielding significant benefits, and arrange virtual visits if you can manage the technological requirements. Ask if a social worker or patient navigator can help you arrange multiple appointments and tests on the same day to minimize the burden of going to and from medical centers. These professionals can also help you connect with community resources such as transportation services that might be of help. Most medical centers have staff of this kind, but physician practices do not. If you don't understand how to do what your doctor wants you to do, ask questions. What will this involve on my part? How much time will this take? What kind of resources will I need to do this? And ask for written materials such as self-management plans for asthma or diabetes that can help you understand what's expected. I would ask a clinician, now this is somebody that's being interviewed, I would ask a clinician, if I chose this treatment option, what does that mean? Not only for my cancer or heart disease, but also for the time I'll be spending getting care. If they don't have an answer, ask if they can come up with an estimate. Well, that's a bleak outlook for people that need more medical care than they are used to in their younger days. Bleak is one thing, but entertaining is another thing, and I think we should listen to these entertaining commercials right now. Ooh, boy, I enjoyed those. That was fun. I have another plan of action that should be fun. This is a game that Randy and I can play. Actually, not a game, kind of a like a, let's suppose that you need to know what the longest-lived animal in the world is, that kind of a game, and I'm going to play it with Randy right now. Did you know, Randy, that there is an app that you can get for your smartphone, or in my case, the Smarty Pants phone, that will tell you things like what kinds of services are covered under Medicare?
No, I didn't.
Well, this is a pretty exciting thing, but if you go to the App Store, and I suppose the other store for Apple. What is the other phone? I got the iPhone. That's the only thing that exists in my world.
Oh, the
what
other
is the
one is the
alternative?
Play Store.
Yeah, okay.
The Android system is the Play Store.
Gotcha.
And the iPhone is the something or other. I've got an iPhone. The App Store, yeah. The Play Store and the App Store.
Well, if you go to the App Store and type in what's covered, WHAT apostrophe S covered, you're going to be offered an app from Medicare.gov. I mean, this is a real deal. These are the people that handle all the Medicare stuff. And when you download that to your phone, it will give you this lengthy list of things that are covered under Medicare. And so I thought maybe you and I could examine this list and see if the answers are what we expect. So I've got the list, I've got the app downloaded, and I've got all of the letters of the alphabet ready for me to select. And so just as an example, I'm going to start with A, and here's a list of all these things: abdominal aortic aneurysms. And I want to know if those are going to be covered by Medicare. Randy, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
When you click on that, there's a big check mark that says covered. How often? Once in a lifetime. Uh-oh.
I think that means that if you have two of those, you're toast.
Yeah, obviously, or at least you got to pay for your own treatment, maybe. costs. You pay nothing for this screening. Okay, I guess you get screened for abdominal.
It's a screening. Okay.
Yeah. So you pay nothing for this screening if the doctor or other healthcare provider accepts assignment. And there's a note here. Your doctor or other healthcare provider may recommend that you get services more often than Medicare covers, or they may recommend services that Medicare doesn't cover. If this happens, you may have to pay some of the costs. Ask questions so you understand why your doctor is recommending certain services and if or how much Medicare will pay for them. So each one of these things, when you select it, gives you the answer you're looking for, and then some additional information and cautions. So we've got in the A's, we've got abdominal aortic aneurysms, acupuncture, advanced care planning, air fluidized beds. What do you suppose that is? Let's click on that and see what it is.
That's called a water bed back in our day.
Yeah, air fluidized. Wow. Medicare Part B, which they call medical insurance. That's not confusing at all. Medicare Part B covers air fluidized beds and other support services as they would cover durable medical equipment that your doctor prescribes for use in your home. And so then it says the costs. After you meet the Part B deductible, you pay 20% of the Medicare approved amount if your supplier accepts assignment. And actually, your Medicare supplement would either credit you towards their deductible if you have what I suggest, the high deductible plan G, then they would pay the cost if you had met your deductible already for the year. You may need to rent the equipment. You may need to buy the equipment. You may be able to choose whether to rent or buy the equipment. You doesn't have to call me Charlie or whatever that comedian did. Oh, Ray J. Raymond J. Johnson Jr. You doesn't have to call me Raymond. You can call me Ray. You can call me Jay. You remember that? Well, this is a little confusing. You may need
to... I'm confused already, Doug. Help me.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, let's get back to the list of letters. And what? Pick a letter out of the alphabet. Let me know which letter you'd like to pursue.
Q.
Q. Boy, he's going to make it tough for us.
All right. Is there any illness or condition that starts with Q?
Well, I was pretty excited because they have Q in the list of letters. However, under that, when I punched Q, it says there are no items or services that begin with this letter.
I knew it. I should have won something for that.
Well, you should have, but you didn't give me advance notice that you were looking for a prize. So what's another letter you'd like to explore?
C.
All right. I'm going all the way back. I got to go to one end of the alphabet and then all the way back just because Randy has to use weirdo letters. Okay. Under C, we have Canes. We have cardiac.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you want to hear Canes? Part B of Medicare covers canes as durable medical equipment. Medicare does not cover white canes for the blind. So
that's stupid.
If you wanted a white cane as a fashion accessory, You're out of luck. You got to pay for your cane yourself.
I'm going to get myself a cane from Medicare. I don't care what color it is. And then guess what I'm going to do?
I give up.
I'm going to paint that turkey white. And I'm going to say, look what I got.
Well, if you get a metal one, you can take it to a car detailer and have them powder coat it.
We can powder coat it. Yeah, absolutely. Then we can wax it.
Yeah. And
literally, I mean, we can make ourselves a white cane. Now, leave it to the government to say, I'm going to cover all these canes over here, but they better not be white.
Yeah, you can dress up like Cab Calloway and be dancing around with your white cane. That would be pretty darn spiffy. Let's see some other things that are listed under C. Cardiovascular behavioral therapy, cardiovascular disease screening, caregiver training services. Wow. If I wanted to be a caregiver, let's see. They are covered under Part B of Medicare. They cover.
If you're going to be a caregiver, wouldn't it be beneficial not to be 800 years old?
Well, that's true. That's true. But on the other hand, you take what you can get. So Medicare covers training, caregiver training services for caregivers involved in the treatment. Maybe the caregiver doesn't have to be 800 years old. Maybe the person training the caregiver is 800 years old.
Well, you know, there's a one that I just was shocked. You know, we played this game quite a while ago, and one that just shocked me.
What's that?
Dancing lessons. In certain cases, they'll pay for your dancing lessons.
Absolutely. Well, let's finish up this caregiver training, and then we'll go look for dancing lessons. The training focuses on helping the patient meet the health and treatment goals they set with the doctor or other healthcare provider. The patient needs caregiver's help for their treatments to succeed. That's okay. If both of those conditions apply, Medicare will pay for them. If the training focuses on helping the patient meet the health and treatment goals, and if the patient needs a caregiver's help for their treatment to succeed. If the patient's healthcare provider determines that a caregiver training is appropriate for the patient's treatment plan, the caregiver can get individual or group training sessions from the provider without the patient being present. What if those training sessions are held in, let's say, Key West during the middle of winter?
Well, there is that possibility. I was also thinking about holding the training sessions up in Cave Creek at the Chip.
Well, there you go. That wouldn't be a bad place to go. Or if it's an outdoor, beautiful, breezy day, we could go to the Mountain View Pub.
Mountain View Pub. There's one other place that I need to get you to, and that's the Cornish Pasty.
I have no idea what that is. It sounds vaguely Irish.
It is. Well, in this particular case, it's British because of Cornwall. But yes, pasties. There's pasties from Ireland. There's pasties from Scotland. There's pasties all over the place, and including on 32nd Street in Phoenix.
No kidding. And now, is this a place, when I think of pasties, would the American pronunciation be pasties?
Probably.
Oh, okay.
But bottom line is it's pronounced pasties, but the thing I like to go for because it's always in an atmosphere I really like, and ultimately that involves, you know what it involves?
Oh, I'm guessing Guinness.
Guinness, yes.
Ah, yes. Wonderful. Hey, I hate to break your heart, but I just went to D and I checked for dancing lessons, and I don't see them listed as covered services under Medicare. But once again, we're looking at the Medicare app. The title of the app is What's Covered? And it asks the rhetorical question, is my item or service covered? So this is it allows you to write in. I'm going to write in dancing lessons and see what it says. Type the service here, dancing lessons, and let's see what they have to say. No results. Try another search term or check your spelling. Oh, geez. I don't think it's possible to misspell the term dancing lessons.
I'm pretty well certain that you didn't misspell it. So that must mean that I have not recalled the dancing lesson option.
Or the other thing that's possible is that we have tightened up our Medicare benefits. That's always possible. Anyway, so this is a little fun to play around with, especially if you have a friend who needs to be quizzed occasionally to keep their Medicare knowledge sharp. And so go to the app store or whatever your phone requires and type in what's covered, WHAT apostrophe S covered. And you can get this app and you can have hours of fun and frivolity playing with the app. So enjoy that. Maybe we'll come back to it every episode and pick a different letter. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Alrighty. Sounds like fun.
Well, I think it's about time for us to DD on out of here. Randy, could you do work your magic?
We do, yeah. There's a definitely we have eaten up our 75 cents worth of time. But before I do, get out your pencil, write down this email address because Doug looks for your mail. And if he doesn't get any, he's grumpy. And we don't like a grumpy Doug. So anyway, it's dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Doug is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. If you can run across someplace on the internet that you could drop a couple reviews on our content, we would certainly appreciate that. Last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us today with Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You could have been 100 different places, but you weren't. You were with us, which is exactly where we want to have you. But you probably weren't checking your watch. You have spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. Now he's living up in his fortress of solitude in the high ground behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I've just recently checked. It's 85 degrees, so I'm going to leave him down below the oxygen line.
I appreciate that, Randy, and I appreciate all of you coming to join us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.